Good morning and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, our online service for this Sunday. These words of Scripture to welcome us. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. This morning, as we begin, I invite you to think in the movies. When there's great peril and catastrophic disaster is imminent, lives of many are in the balance. And then you hear one of the characters say to the other, a very minor character, the one says to the other, "You know what to do." And they do it. And it makes all the difference in the story. Right now, our doctors, our nurses, our personal support workers, emergency responders, they're all telling us, "You know what to do." And right now, we need to do it. Not the politicians, but the people who work tirelessly on the front lines. They are asking us to do what we need to do. And that will make all the difference. As mentioned, our services these days are online, and for those at home, we'll be receiving printed copies of our messages and copies of the bulletin. If any of these issues are a concern or you would like to change the arrangements on that, for receiving bulletins at home, please give the office a call. Knowing that we're not in all the time now, but we will get your message and respond. Few announcements for us to consider. This morning we begin our worship series, Worship Not Only. It's a three-part series during the month of January, exploring the ways that worship is not only. Not only here in the sanctuary, it's not only about singing, and it's not restricted to a specific time. And so for this series, we invite you to prayerfully be reading in the book of Acts, specifically chapter 2, and certainly meditate on those words as important for us for these days. Also, during this time of lockdown, there will be a continuation of Journey Through the Psalms, an online resource. If you would like to receive these also by email or by hard copy with the mailing, again, please contact the office. Back in the fall, the church celebrated its 75th year of ministry and sharing here in the community of St. Catherine's in the North End, and the anniversary service is now available in full, either on DVD or online. There are links, again, either in the electronic bulletin, or you can request a copy by contacting Ron Weens. There are also church directories available upon request, and again, you can access those by contacting the church office. Again, this morning, as we begin our worship service, I would like to share with you from Psalm 139, beginning with verse 7 to 12. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for the darkness is as light to you. The night will shine like the day. This prayer as we begin, and again, God's blessings to you on this day of worship. And Trudy will lead us in music, Angels from the Realms, and also here I am to worship.
Rudy,
thank you. Thank you. I hope you've been able to hum, or at least hum, if not sing, along with those words at home, and together with us join in worship. For these days, once again, with the provincial lockdown, most of us, as possible, are working from home. And just a reminder, those of us here at the church primarily are working from home, and only at the church if need be for various causes. And just a reminder, you can contact Pastor Nick or myself through our telephone numbers or emails, and certainly leave messages at the office if need be. We will pick those up when we can, and so your patience and understanding in this is appreciated. Some evenings before bed, I step out on our back deck, and if the night is clear, I gaze upon the Milky Way to the east. I look for the Big Dipper in the northwest, and the Big Dipper aligns up and guides my eyes to the polar star, the North Star, famous for guiding American slaves from the south to Canada in the north, from slavery to freedom. And these days, we also need to be guided by a true North Star, of Jesus Christ, who comes to lead us from darkness to light. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Eternal God, we gather by virtual means in our homes and other places, and these days we gather there for health and safety of the community. Now more than ever, we need your mercy and your grace through Jesus Christ. Our lives are filled with uncertainty, disruption, and loneliness. There's a heaviness of heart, fear of unknown, sadness in so many ways. We long to be in this place, here where we normally gather for worship, to renew our commitments, to hear from your word, to support one another. From the quietness of our homes, give us your light. The light of deep joy, that which inspires confidence, that which leads to hope. The light of your guiding star, Jesus Christ. Remove the clouds that hinder our vision. Allow us to experience your forgiveness through Jesus. Break open the brightness of your eternal love, that we may share in joy with one another. For these days, and specifically for people that we are concerned for, we pray for one another. For those who have experienced sadness, and we also pray for those who serve for healing and hope in these dark days, that together we may experience Jesus' renewal, his resurrection, his life in us and through us. We pray this in his name. Amen. What is this place? A song that leads our thoughts and reflections. And God, fill me now. Trudy, thank you for sharing with us the text on the screen.
Back in the summer of this past year, a prominent American pastor wrote this in a tweet. "Church isn't a building," he said. "It's a fellowshipping of believers around God's words. And that fellowshipping can't happen online or across dozens of distanced outdoor services." This person was, of course, responding to government restrictions that had been put in place in that region as a result of the pandemic, directing congregations to not gather for that time. And I was with him for that first part, the bit about the church not building, being a building, but a fellowshipping. But then he lost me. And from what I could see from the comments that followed, he evidently lost a lot of other people as well. So the church isn't a building, they wrote, but the church can't be the church unless it's in the building. The church can't be the church if people are looking at one another through computer screens or are outdoors or there happens to be a few feet between them. Now, far too much time has been spent this past year in disagreement about whether churches should be open and the manner that they should be open if they are. I think we've lamented the ways that this has become a politicized and polarized conversation. We've seen actual protests and counter-protests about this. In the States, it's even gone to the Supreme Courts. This has divided the church in a time when I believe the church desperately needs to be united. And so I'm not interested in taking a side or pitting our church or any other church against any other. I think a prophetic and critical stance towards the government can be an important thing at times. But I also think that when people in power are truly acting in the best interest of people, in a way that lines up with our Christian commitments, we can faithfully follow their leads. So again, not interested in taking sides. What I am interested in, though, is that deeper question as it relates to the question of whether the church needs a building to be a church. Do we need to be in a sanctuary for worship to take place? Do we need a facility which we can enter in order to do what we do as God's people? Allow me to read our text for today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowds. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirits on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirits in those days, and they will prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thus far, the reading of God's word. There are two places of worship mentioned here in Luke's accounts. I don't know if you caught one of them or maybe both. So it happens that neither of them is inside a church building. That ought to be obvious to us, of course. The church didn't have any of its own buildings in that time or even for some time later. It's still something worth reflecting on. Luke tells us that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were gathered together in a house. In a house. They were sitting together in someone's room, in someone's home, when the Spirit came upon them like wind and fire, and they all began to speak in tongues. And when what happened in that moment simply couldn't be contained, It spilled out onto the streets of Jerusalem, where crowds then began to assemble. They watched this peculiar God-filled behavior carry on outdoors. And when the people started rolling their eyes and murmuring that the disciples must have had a long night or started their drinking early that day, Peter stands up and begins preaching. Again, outdoors. Let me say, I can understand why people would make such a big deal about being able to gather in a church building during this time. Faith can't be practiced in a vacuum. Corporate worship doesn't take place in a vacuum. We need people as Christians, and we need spaces to meet with them in. The early Christians needed a house to gather in. That's why many churches have buildings. And I can understand how important that kind of space is, especially if you grew up spending time in it or have returned to it week after week for your entire life. So I understand why someone would miss that dearly and want to return to that, especially in a time like this. I understand how truly difficult it is to not be in a space together worshiping with other people. And yet that tweet from that church leader still leaves me scratching my head. The church can't be the church if it's outdoors or people are spread out. What about the first church in Acts? What about the Pentecost prayer nights held in someone's home? What about the very first mass church service that Peter hosted in the open air of the City of Peace? That wasn't church. That wasn't worship. Earlier in the Gospels, we see Jesus entering into this debate about where worship should take place. It actually sounds surprisingly similar to some of the debates we've heard this past year. It comes at the end of his exchange with the Samaritan woman. You might remember it. We read that she says to Jesus, I can see that you're a prophet. So answer this question for me then. Our ancestors, the Samaritans, worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews say that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So which is it? In other words, can worship happen in this place or does it need to be in that place? Can worship happen while we're sitting in cars or does it need to be in the church building? Can worship happen when we're logged on to Zoom or does it need to be in the sanctuary? Can worship happen on this hill, she asks Jesus, or does it need to be in the holy city? Maybe you remember Jesus' response. Jesus tells her, a time is coming when you'll worship neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. For a time is coming when true worshipers will worship in spirits and in truth. For God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirits and in truth. The Samaritan woman's question is important. Can worship happen in this place or does it need to be in that other place? She's not trolling Jesus here, to use the social media terms. She's not trying to trap him or make him take a side. I believe she's genuinely curious and concerned because she wants to worship faithfully following this encounter with Jesus. Her question is important because place is important. And so Jesus' response tells us something important as well. It tells us that place matters. And yet neither of those two places matters in the ultimate sense. Jesus' response transcends the debates. It's this truly brilliant, non-dual, conflict-transforming wisdom that goes beyond the combative either-or that we see in Twitter wars. What matters is that God can be worshipped in any place, and that God be rightly worshipped in those places. That, after all, is the pattern of Pentecost, that where the Spirit is present and stirring, God will be recognized and given glory. The argument misses the point, Jesus tells her. When you get tangled up in the dispute, you end up distracted from what's truly important. That God be worshipped for the truth of who God is with sincere and spirit-filled hearts. Throughout Scripture, we see God's people gather for corporate worship in all sorts of different places. Beyond the upper room and the city streets that we read about in the opening chapters of the book of Acts. You might remember it meets outside of temples, in synagogues, and in public halls. They lift up their hearts in gardens, in deserts, on shores, and in boats. I think most of us will intuitively recognize this and understand this because we've also participated in worship in all sorts of different places as well. Let me list just a few of the places I've worshipped. Places where I've sung, read scripture, prayed, taken communion with other Christians. I've worshipped in the dining hall of a summer camp, at a cabin, at a retreat center, around a campfire, in a backyard, in a hospital room, in a university chapel, in a public park, in a schoolyard, in a school gymnasium, in a center for recovering alcoholics, at a drop-in youth center. I've worshipped in a retirement home, a long-term care facility, on top of a decommissioned garbage pile termed park, beside a lake for a baptism service, beside a public pool for a baptism service, inside a public pool for a baptism service. I've worshipped in an apartment, on a farm, on a video call, in a church member's house, in my house, in a house in a slum, in a forest, in a coffee shop that was used by church on Sunday, in a storefront that was used by a church on a Sunday, in a movie theater that was used by a church on a Sunday, in an orphanage, in a classroom, in a community center. Shall I go on? I'm not trying to be flippant here. I just can't help but find myself feeling confused when I hear that it needs to be in the sanctuary. When I hear that the church can't be the church or do what the church does unless it's in a building that's been built for that purpose. Because what about all those other places that you and I have worshipped? What about when a church rents a hall or moves from one building to another, as our church has? What about when a church's building is damaged or burns down? What about when a church is forced to go underground because of persecution and simply can't meet in a place with a big sign and a big steeple that everyone can see? What about when we're in a pandemic and there's a lockdown in place, or there are people who are at higher risk and simply can't come into the sanctuary? This is one of the lessons that we've learned and relearned this past year, that worship is more than just being in a sanctuary. That if we need to for a time, we can still worship as the early Christians did from within our homes and from other places. This past year, I've heard some of you share about how you've listened, prayed, and sung along in places like while camping, or while watching a sunset by the water, or even driving. I love that. Call me or send me a message this week and tell me the most interesting place you've watched or listened to one of our sermons this past year. Again, I understand that for those of us who want to be gathering right now, we'd happily take any of those options for spaces I've listed in a heartbeat if it meant that we could just be together in the way that we're used to being together. I understand that the togetherness, the being in the same place with one another, is the thing that's so important and the thing that feels so dearly missed right now. And so we'd gladly take a house like the disciples did on Pentecost if it meant we could all be together in one place like they were. We'd gladly take the opportunity to meet in the streets like the others if we could and if it meant that we could do that. Because we know that we can't be Christians alone. We can't do this on our own. We need one another, and we need to be able to connect with one another on a regular basis. This year has revealed that. Yet I believe it's worth coming back to this text in Acts and remembering that the church has a history of being the church without a building and worshiping God without a building. The church did that at the very start and has been there many times since. And so we can get through this time now. On the day of Pentecost, we see the Spirit moving and the church unbounded. We encountered a God who is too holy and too wild to ever possibly be contained to one space. We witness a community that was never meant to be fixed, a church that was never meant to just sit still in one place and stay put, a movement that was intended to spill out from whatever place it found itself and go with good news into other places. The God we believe in can only be found and worshipped in one place. The God we believe in is far, far too small and nothing close to the God of the Bible. Later on in the book of Acts, Paul tells the people of Athens that the God who made everything, made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. In his commentary on those verses, Yaroslav Pelikan writes this: authentic worship can be offered to the true God anytime and anywhere, Whether it's on a housetop in Joppa or the sand beach at Tyre, spaces and times become sacred spaces and sacred times because of the prayer rather than vice versa. It's again precisely what Jesus said when he spoke to the Samaritan woman that day. He could have taken aside and come out swinging. He could have refused to talk to her altogether. His people hated her people. But instead, he sidesteps the conflict and takes her to the deeper and more important question. Because place matters, but what matters most is that the living gods be approached in living worship. That is what makes a space sacred. Which means that if needed for a time, a parking lot or a living room can become a sanctuary. So maybe that's how I'd respond to that tweet, if I were to. That along with the endless thread of here versus there, right versus wrong comments that follow, I think it misses the points. That it distracts us from the real issue, the real matter, which is our actual ongoing devotion and service to God during a difficult time. Of course, I don't have Twitter and I've never felt it a particularly productive use of time to dive into online debates. But maybe that's how I would reply. Or maybe I'm a fool to even have said as much as I have in response. I don't know. Jesus seems to be much better at keeping and speaking above the fray than I do most days. In any case, some of you watching, listening this morning have been able to return to our sanctuary for gatherings. Some of you haven't stepped foot here since March 8th. Whichever the case may be, I believe that our worship has not stopped. Because worship is more than being in a sanctuary. Because worship, authentic worship, can be offered to the true God anytime and anywhere. Amen. Pray for us now our closing song, selection. Written by Johnny Brown, Light of Heaven, Shine on Me, familiar to some of you, hopefully. Thank you for joining us this morning. If we were gathering, this would be when we would ask God's blessing on our offerings. We'll still do so as we go. But if you're looking for information about how you can be giving during this time, I'd invite you to see our bulletin for details or contact Alvin Enns, our treasurer. Before we go, I also wanted to share about something that we'll be trying next week, something perhaps in the spirit of my message today. Which we're calling the Zoom Narthex. With our services pre-recorded, I'd invite any of you who are able to make a rhythm of watching them on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then join us for a Zoom call at 10:45. There'll be a short time of connection, conversation based on some of the discussion questions I typically prepare, and then just a chance to visit and see some familiar faces during this time. As we conclude this time, I share these words of blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.